And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Yale Senior, we millennials don't stand a chance. Sorry, man. You know, just figure that out. You know, there's an article that was forwarded, from the New York Times and put on Business Insider. I saw it a couple of days ago. I meant to talk about it before. Welcome to Declare Your Independence. Hello. We just did Rise Up Radio for John Bush taking a break after having his baby. We're already up and yakking. Well, what I'm going to go ahead and do is kind of go over some of the dates and some of the things and events that are going on, because I want to make sure you guys know what's up. Excuse me. So let me tell you what's going on right now. In the second hour and the third hour, we're going to have a couple of gentlemen that are hackerspace guys, okay? This is what's going on. I've been looking for, I'm like, am I the only one doing this carbon nanotube thing? You know, it's chemical vapor disposition of the kind of way that I do it, yada, yada, yada. I'm going, this is not that hard. Doesn't even cost that. And, of course, what cost me a few thousand dollars is going to cost them, a few hundred thousand dollars to do the same, because that's just the way they are. And, don't get me going. Yesterday, I talked, let me go over the events and so on. I'll get you up to speed, and I'll tell you about the guests coming in, why. One, Terry Bressey from Checkpoint USA, Cop Block and LRN, Free Talk, whatever, Ian and Pete Iyer and Terry Bressey, they're all doing this Checkpoint USA create, using old footage someone else's off, a flyer, a logo, a poster, a music, a song, a video, whatever, depicting a viral kind of everybody, some campaign you win thing for this Checkpoint stuff. Okay? Papers, please. And that is done, I think, Monday or Sunday night. I think it's the 8th. So you got this weekend. And we'll go ahead and put something in the e-zine, say we did. Because I wanted to make sure that it got documented, that you get a chance. And I talked to 4409, Shelton. I said, hey, man, are you doing something? He goes, yeah, I think that's, something. So hopefully he's working on that. And it's just to bring attention to us, seriously. It's like the marijuana thing. Majority of people now, support legalizing marijuana. Oh, well, then I guess we got to do it. Until you have the majority, it doesn't matter if you got a drug war and violating rights and RICO season doing kind of whatever, rule you police state stuff. As long as the majority asks for it, I'm like, wow. So, here you got the politicians coming out, they're all for smoking dope and being gay and getting married. Okay. That's because survey says, I'm like, seriously, that's how we deal with this. I'm so for ignoring them. You're still voting, whatever. So Terry Bressey's campaign there, you go to copblock.com/checkpoint. I think is what it is. But if you Googled, cop block checkpoint contest, I guarantee it'll come up. So you have that. I want to make sure you got until the end of the weekend to get something in. And the e-zine comes out tonight, April. This will be our 23rd. So one more next month, and that'll be two full years of doing the e-zine. 24 covers. We have 23 right now. So I am like, one more, and I got a full 2 years. I got, 24 covers to make lots of dime cards, lots of posters, lots of calendars, you see my point? So we're going to start doing that. We're going to start easing the magazine into a newsletter, a different package that we're doing. We're all going to survive this thing. You know, I'm looking more for the, by matter of fact, I'm in the middle of a letter to staff that, you know, puts up a lot of the stuff. I send them headlines to put in. And if I don't get it by a certain time, they just start going and looking and so on. I'm like, hey, man, more positive. And I don't want you guys to kind of be doing the political stuff because a little bit more left. But, you know, I'm going to have you guys, you know, here's some sites I'd rather you guys go glean first before you start looking at the political stuff. Because I'm really so negative, you know, I just don't care. I'm more about the future and positive, and we're going to fix it, and the man can bite me, you know. So we're going to, the flavor's going to change a little bit. That's what, you know, we got some staff looking at how to really do the social networking and Facebook, and I'm still trying to, you know, hire somebody. I'm talking to, you know, so that reminds me, I got to talk to someone after the show. Cindy Sheehan is going across the country doing a thing called Tour de Peace. Now, a lot of people don't know that Cindy Sheehan, you know, where she really did most of her writing and notoriety and got launched was on Lou Rockwell. Now, they're like, what? You know, isn't she a progressive, commie, lefty, you know, kind of what? Yeah, probably. But she understands libertarian philosophy. You know, Charles Goyette and I, you know, we doing a lot to help promote what she was doing because we understood, you know, it's mom, okay? Noble Cause, he died. What was Noble Cause? I just want to know what Noble Cause was. That was the big thing with her and the Bush administration. Okay, so he died for a noble cause. You know, oh, he died for a noble cause in person. You know, she goes to the White House, Bush, say, oh, he died for a noble cause. She's like, and what was that? Never mind. Did you see the leak in bedroom? So I'm just, you know, this is what this whole thing was about. But she used the progressive movement that, you know, tried to use her, you know, just as easily back and forth, and she benefited. But they wanted her to say, it's not immediate withdrawal, it's phased withdrawal. And if you don't start saying it that way, you know, we're going to pull all support and you're a pariah. She goes, bite me, I'm not doing it. They did it, and she wound up running against Pelosi in San Francisco in 10, I think it was. So I'm just like, this is, you know, I like Cindy. You know, Charles likes her. We're going to have a party here April 20th, a Saturday. She's coming in doing the protest this, and Flake and McCain are warmongers, and they're going to whatever, and yeah, like we didn't already know that. So then she's going to come over here, and we'll have a fundraiser, and, you know, and all the little secret agent guys are going to come. You know they're going to be flooding in. I mean, we just open it up. Yeah, bring them on in. You know, everybody gets to meet everybody. So they had some people come over yesterday, kind of see our facility here, what we got. Yeah, we got speakers. Yeah, we got risers. Yeah, we got a backyard. Yeah, we got a bunch of, you know, just come on down. We'll raise enough money, gear, gas, and go to the next place. So we're going to try and, yeah, probably raise, you know, at least $500 to $1,000, something. You know, so we'll get a bunch of people here. Everybody gives $10, are good. So I'm going, so this is what we're going to try and have an influence, you know, this, you know, progressive anti-Warren kind of, we want to make sure we, you know, keep the libertarian love going into this thing, because who else is doing it? Where did the anti-war movement go? What happened to that? So we're, you know, so we're working on that. And Arizona Breakfast Club is tomorrow morning. And there's a big, I was asked by some activists that are big in the C4L and the Republican, blah, 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 and all that stuff. And I'm like, you're still voting? I mean, seriously, why are you calling me? You know, I don't have any interest in this. You know, you guys do it. Oh, we got a really bad mayor in Mesa, and he's going to run for governor bad, and we got to get him bad because I like this other guy. It's not so bad. You know, that kind of thing. So I'm going, look, you want to get the people going? I'll tell you what it is. Food. Can they grow food? Are they allowed to? Can you grow a garden in your front yard? Can you have chickens in the backyard? Can you, I mean, you know, what about selling it? What about eggs that you make available to your neighbor? I mean, you know what are they allowed? Can we please live, sir? So I go, you find that, and you'll say, I go, here are some links to Maine and some other stories that we had on Freedom's Phoenix about these small communities making it an ordinance that, you know, none shall pass and none shall bother our residents or growing food on a state, federal, and whatever, and bite me, we can do what we want, we're not going to die. So I'm going, all right, because it's Agenda 21, zoning control plan, comprehensive, we get the rule you crap, okay? I go, you go look right there, I'll show you where the city charter, you can make the change in this and their plan and do it. They start, all of a sudden yesterday, they go, oh, where do you peg that one? Woo, we're all over it. So they're going to be talking about it at the Breakfast Club tomorrow. And then there's a bunch of other stuff going on here. Silver Circle. April 11th here in Arizona. We're pushing that. Been distributing all kinds of stuff.
Quantum vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. QuantumVibe.com from Big Head Press.
What's up next? Visit the Liberty Radio Network program guide to find out at shows.lrn.fm. That's shows.lrn.fm.
Rhodes, it's the Ernest Hancock Show. Where we're going, there aren't any roads.
Ah, there's one. To freedom! Yep. Here on Declare Your Independence, that's what we try and do. We're going to change the flavor of the site a little bit. I mean, I try and keep a wide radar screen. We've done that for a long time. And I'm in the middle of an email to staff going, look, you know, I appreciate, you know, a lot of the, you know, I like a wide radar screen. Why would you put in on Freedom's Phoenix the gun control they passed whatever in the little town of the whatever, we're going to take all your kind of, so you know what's going on. You know, oh, well, they wrote about, oh, you know, more guns, more crime, and kind of that, so you know what they're saying. You know, I'm like, yeah, you know what, you did, you know, you look on SAFE, Second Amendment is for Everyone, and you have, you know, safegunowners.org, you go there, which is a special edition of Freedom's Phoenix, and then you got all of these gun stories, you know, and then you got like three or four of them about the gun grabbing camera. Oh, well, what's that doing? So you know, because seriously, you know how, a friend of mine told me, I'm going, you know, I don't get why these guys don't understand this or they don't get that and whatever. And he goes, you do the same thing. And we all do. And I go, what are you talking about? He goes, when you look at the front page of a newspaper or a magazine or a website or something like that, and it goes, you know, it's front page of New York Times, you know, government good, freedom bad. You know, do you read it? Yeah, you know, maybe that one. But I mean, you know, it's basically the same thing. You know, study finds that, you know, it's good to have a drug war kind of thing. I mean, seriously, do I need to read this? Next. I mean, you can tell from the headline, it's propaganda, it's crap, and I don't care. Next. So we filter ourselves. You know, so if I put it up on Freedom's Phoenix, you know, do people read? They read the headline and the summary at least, and the email dispatch and so on. And that's why I admonish, you know, staff and writers and so on when they do this. They always come in and they'll say, excuse me. They always come in and they say, you know, well, you know, the missiles launch details at 11. Yeah, this, you know, make you look. Don't make me look. You know, if I can't figure it out from the 250 character summary in the three lines or whatever in the headline, what it's totally about. If I want to go look, I'll go look. Don't, you know, it's not my goal to make me go open up the damn thing, because you got to go through layers anyway. So, because we have the mid page, which has the comments and all that kind of stuff. So we, as an aggregator, we can get away with whatever. So it's just the way our system works. Be able to RSS feed to your smartphone. The actual, yeah, that's another thing. You guys, did you even know? You know, we haven't really pushed it a lot, but you know, we're going to start here as part of our next thing. Is there is a cell phone app? You know, you have an Android app. You just go in Freedom's Phoenix. You get Freedom's Phoenix on your phone. It looks just like on your phone. It looks like the front page, but it takes out all the ads and all that kind of stuff. And it's a lot easier to keep up on it. You know, with your smartphone, Freedom's Phoenix app. You push it, boom. You update it. All the stuff comes done. Done. You can RSS feed the radio archives and all the, you know, we're on iTunes. Now we a lot of stuff that we've done behind the scenes. We haven't really been promoting it because we haven't been ready. Well, we've been kind of ready, you know, since Christmas. And we kind of, yeah, we're ready. We're kind of formulating, getting the next project done. And then we're going to, you know, we'll be rock and rolling and doing the Lovelution Goes Planetary again. I don't do anything unless I know I won before I started. I mean, I get everything all set and ready, take time, get boom shakalaka, here we come. All right, well, that's what I do. So we got a bunch more here we comes. So what I'm trying to do is encourage the staff. I'm like, you know, tell you what, the political thing I'll take care of. I'll send you guys input up and kind of economics, and I'm, you know, I can get a beat on it. You guys just doing filler to meet your so many a day you're trying to do from whatever I don't send them. They'll just go and find their own. And I'm going to, let's limit yourself to science and technology. You know, check these sites and do this. Now, I'd much, you know, rather you show some science and spend this and positive aspects of, you know, than trying to what interests you, because it's just a different flavor. It's perspective. And it's starting to get more because I'm doing less sending them stuff and their perspective is different. Okay. I like different. I like, you know, that's why I leave the radar screen open, you know, to, you want to get their perspective. But after a while, it becomes, I mean, what are we, raw story? So we're working on that. Now, at the Breakfast Club, they're going to be doing the Agenda 21 thing because they're starting to find out that the left, the right, we want to grow, we, you know, government bad, they're controlling, it's a zombie apocalypse, and it's very clear that they're doing to make sure we can't, we got to all line up for the FEMA camp. And I'm going, please, sir, can I have some water and, you know, government cheese? So they're starting to see it. I mean, this, you know, a lot of the people, and they're going, ooh, this is popular. Once they touched that rail, man, they went, whoa, that's charged. Okay, let's rock and roll. So they're going to come tomorrow morning and talk about what they got planned for Mesa. And it's going to be, once you start somewhere here, certainly in a Mormon community, they think they got, you know, it's Republican control and Mormons. We got, you go after their strength. Once you beat them there, the rest is just a mop-up operation. You're not going to have to fringe. You'll go, where are they strongest? Where? Come on, who's got the control and the reins of? And got, let's go kick their butt. You beat the crap out of them where they're the strongest. The rest is just, a lot of times it won't even be a mop-up party. They'll just surrender. Oh, I was always libertarian. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's how it works. Okay, so then we have Silver Circle coming up next week, the 11th. Now, there's a theater in the East Valley here, not too far from ASU, that Pollock Theater, Palak, whatever it is. They have a theater that they've rented out, and we've been promoting it, and we got posters from Megan and Pasha, and we've been distributing them. We are going to, yeah, it's called Pollock Theater, and I heard from Taryn Lupo said he saw, at, I guess it was Liberty Forum, he saw the finished version of Silver Sword. He said, man, it was way better. You know, now we saw it, you know, kind of unfinished and not, you know, the sound wasn't done right and everything was done, you know, kind of enough. You could see what was going on, but it wasn't finished at Porkfest this last summer. Well, Taryn said it's a lot better. You know, they really, you know, amped it up. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're making a big woohoo out of it. We're all going to go over there and have some fun and see what's up. So to promote that, we got posters and cards and all kinds of stuff we've been distributing to some of the activists, their silver rebels, you know, and on Meetup and such. So Donna went, and just to make sure it got done, even though it's magazine week, she took Tuesday when Brock came over to help me clean up, you know, around here in the lab and the garage and get some stuff situated. We did a rerun that day. And she went to every one of the media outlets because we have a media list and we know how to do that. You call them, all right, who's the guy in charge of assignment desk now? Who's the event guy on the IT webmaster, De La, whatever? Who's the, you know, get all the information and we send it to Megan and we go and we created that, you know, two mailers, you know, they put the posters in and the information on it, go and drop it off to every single one of them. Then you'll call them again. We'll fax them again. We'll email them again. It's just, you know, that's how you deal when you, you know, oh my goodness, you might get one television station to do something or not. I don't care. You know, we just, you know, we're going to have a good time and go, and we did our bit. But we take the posters and we start putting them in the businesses around ASU. That's what's going to happen tomorrow. We have a bunch of people come to the Breakfast Club. We give them the remainder of the stuff that we're doing. You know, a lot of these guys are doing some, you know, I got a gun protest thing. So while they're doing that, and they can go, you know, put up peace. Oh, by the way, you know, get some silver. So this is how we're pushing this, and I'm sure we'll have a successful event. Then we have, you know, the lab out here. I tell you what happened yesterday. I guess I'll tell you when we come back. You know, we're in the second and third hour. We're going to have Chad and Ryan, their students, and hackerspace guys at heatsinklabs.org. Here's another one called Gangplank. There's Tech Shop. There's popping up all over the place. They're not going to university or school to learn something. They're learning from each other and just doing it themselves. Well, I got a lab.
If you enjoy LRN.FM, please contribute to your favorite shows via their websites and become an amplifier at amp.lrn.fm. That's amp.lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock. To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. Hello. All right. What we're going to do is I'll tell you the hackerspace thing. What we're doing is I called Arizona State University yesterday because all of a sudden it dawned on me Tuesday as we were, you know, cleaning up, doing some experiments, and I got one out there. I got to go check with these guys when they get here. But, because you never know. Might be just the perfect catalyst I got for the whatever and so on. And I got, there's some other stuff, chemicals that I need to etch the catalyst on the yada yada when you do the nickel iron cobalt kind of, you know, crap. And it's hydrofluoric acid. And I have not got hydrofluoric acid yet because that stuff's like Cecil B. DeNasty. We got a hood and everything in there and respirator and all that. And I'm like, can I get everything else done and all these other experiments and stuff before I start going to this to do, because that stuff's nasty. So I'm going, all right, so we'll deal with that. Damn it. You know, it's like chemicals. And so we'll go ahead and work on that because you got to, yeah, it's a long story, the science of it. And one of these days I'll do a show just on and take pictures and videos and so on. And that's what we're going to be doing. When we launch this new newsletter, we're going to be building some geodesic domes that meet up to each other out here where we had our garden before. And we're thinking we're going to get an aquaponic tank and everything. And I didn't even realize, those of you that have been here, we have a water feature that Donna really likes. It has a waterfall into this little pond thing by the pool. Well, that's a perfect place to put this. Because I was thinking, I'm going, yeah, we need to build and put it into the ground, this tank, kind of keep it cool so it's not this 115. I don't care how drought resistant and heat resistant these tilapia from the Upper Nile, Egypt, Sahara kind of fish they are. I'm telling you, you better be having it in the ground somewhere because, damn, it'll cook them. I mean, literally. So she goes, well, just put them in the pond here. You know, the water feature deal, which is pretty big. I mean, you could probably sit, I don't know, comfortably 8 people in this thing. So I go, wow, I didn't even think of that. That is perfect. And that, you know, you don't filter that. Man, that thing can get all kinds of nasty. Heck, we can start them bad boys off right away. So I'm going, okay, all right. So then that means we got to move it over here to do it, which is probably better anyway. We start laying it out, and we're going to be building it. And we've done the geodesic dome, the money dome stuff. That was another thing. Donna had saw that one of the guys had built some kind of dome. I show him what we did and the stuff that we have. He's going to go, oh, you guys got it going on. So we're going to inject into this hackerspace thing. But I was looking for, isn't there anybody doing this kind of work? Well, it's probably because of the tube furnace. I mean, they're not free, but they're, you know, it's a couple $1,000s. And I mean, if you go used and you get the, I mean, you know, if they really wanted to have, you know, but then you're dealing with chemicals and electronics doesn't spew out, you need a respirator, you know? So I'm really excited about trying to find somebody. And I thought, well, maybe they have a lab. Maybe there's students. Maybe there's graduate students. Maybe they're doing some research nanotube at Arizona State University. Because Brock and I go, you know what? They have ASU West, which is a branch of ASU. I mean, it's big. I mean, it's a square half mile campus out here, less than a mile down the street from me. I mean, I walk out, I go out there, look down, the, you know, there's way down there. You know, I'm going, okay. Okay, so like less than a mile, I have ASU West right there. I said, you know what? I'll just go and look at the chemistry lab and the chemistry department and start looking up and do nanotube. And boom, this guy pops up. So I go, his name was whatever. With an H. So I call him and I say, hey, you know, this is what I'm doing. How you doing? Whatever. And we had a nice conversation for 20 minutes or so. He was very interested in what we were doing. Do you have any? He goes, well, down at University of Arizona, there's this one company that kind of does some testing, a little bit kind of, and they do and charge for and get, and it's kind of, you know, yeah, they're part of the university under the contract that they kind of whatever, but we farm ourselves out. We can, you know, check and see what kind of carbon you have, and if it's nano, we have the weight of analysis of the yada yada. Well, then he starts trying to sell. Oh, yeah, and it only charges. I go, what do you do? As you know, I'm paying all this tax money for what? What do you do? Why are you nanotube guy? Environmental grant. Oh, yeah, yeah. My job and my grant, professor of, as I go around and find nanotubes in nature. Seriously? You know, this. So what are you doing? You go around, if it looks black, I kind of, you know, kind of environmental. Yep, that's what I do. You know, you add the word environmental to it, or God forbid global warming, You just got yourself a grant. So I talked, and of course I shared my opinion, and I was nice. You know, the guy, I'm just like, look, this is seriously, you know, this is what we're, and I show him, I have him go on, I send him the cover to the magazine of the lab, and I said, you know, see, this is what I have here, this battery project on the site, this is what we're doing, if anybody's of interest, you know, they really want to do some work, have them contact me, and we're in peace. So he sent me some information on the guys at University of Arizona Tucson that might be doing more of this kind of stuff. So I started checking on that. Nothing. 20-something years, nothing. Just like the space race. So I'm like the, you know, seriously, with my couple $1,000, you know, I mean, it's probably, I bet you I probably got, I don't know, $6,000-$7,000 in the entire lab of doing it, but I can do a lot of stuff now. Which is why you call the Phoenix Police Diffusion Center, the FBI, and you say, don't come kill my dog, okay? All this glassware that I got and distilled and all that kind of stuff, that's for making the catalyst I need to put on the samples to be able to start and grow and be the catalyst for the nanotubes. And I go, you don't need to come kill my dog. I'm not a meth lab, okay? Just because I got glass beakers, not a meth lab. And that was the reason why I found out that they don't. And he was, the professor was telling me too. He goes, even though we're the university, it's a nightmare for us to order anything because of that. You know, you got to account for and this, that, and everything. Drug war. Okay. So I'm going, okay. So then you get chemicals. I got 178 day law chemicals I find on, you know, connection from, I think, eBay or Amazon or whatever it was. And I got all these different chemicals. Some of the other stuff that they didn't have, I couldn't get from there. I get, you know, from eBay on from Estonia. There's some guy that's got barrels of, you know, Eastern Bloc, you know, goodies that he just, you know, put in his basement garage or there, the KGB, for all I know, you know, some, like, whatever you need a couple ounces of, well, here I got it. I mean, something simple like lithium hydroxide. You know what I needed one time? I need to do an experiment. I need calcium carbonate. Could not find it. You know what calcium carbonate is? Where I finally got it? I put and crushed it up in a pestle and did it. Chicken eggshells. It's oyster shells. Just pure calcium carbonate. I get easier to do that because I go to a health food store, you go to a science store, you go to chemistry lab. It's always mixed with something. Calcium carbonate with magnesium calcium carbonate. You know, it's kind of, calcium carbonate is what? Like for indigestion? I'm going, seriously. So I really? And you wonder why there's not innovation? So I'm talking to this professor about it. He was like, man, he was right on board. He's going, brother, Mr. Q Citizen, you understand our pain. And I go, yes, I do. You know, so this is what I'm trying to inspire. And I'm going, you know, am I going to do it through the universities? Hell no. You know, I did that. Just say I did, you know, but it was only after I found the hackers. I go, look, I got these guys on the show tomorrow. He might be listening today. You know, I'm going, I got these guys coming in. They're doing this kind of stuff. They're building robots. They're doing microprocessors. We had, you know, the one guy, I can't remember what the name of the thing that he does in San Francisco, Mitch Altman, he developed, kind of gave him the resources for him to support this hackerspace and just teach people how to solder. In fact, he did a comic book that Donna made part of the e-zine this time, just simple things like how to correctly solder. If you can't do this, you know, well, you might as well, all this microprocessing, switching, doing nano, whatever, doesn't mean nothing. You know, so you need to know how to do the circuit boards, daylights, what he does. First, step one, teach him to solder. And I know exactly what he's talking about. When we were doing the dome and we were making stuff, or a lot of different projects that we do, you know, painting the RV, doing some woodworking, building stuff at the workshop and everything. And you get a guy come up and which end of the screwdriver do you stick in your ear? I mean, you know, this is seriously, and they're smart people. They just never, ever, 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 ever touched a tool. You know, I mean, yeah, it's, you know, change your oil. How you do that? You know, I have my kids, when they started driving, they got their car. Man, they're out there helping me. You know, you need brakes? Well, get your butt out here and learn how. Because damn. So this is what I'm hoping to spark. And when we come back, you know, at the top of the hour, these guys are going to be in studio, and we're going to hear how Generation Next is actually going to save, build, supply, and fix the planet.
Freedom is the answer. What's the question?
I want to break free.
You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
I want to break free.
from your lies, lies, lies. What we are going to be doing is Noise Bridge. That was the one I was trying to think of, Mitch Altman. It's in San Francisco. I'll give you the, you know, the summary of it. Programming, hardware, physics, chemistry, mathematics, photography, security, robotics, art, technology. Noise Bridge is an infrastructure provider for technical creative projects, collaboratively run by its members. We are incorporated as a nonprofit educational corporation for public benefit. Yeah, I'm not sure I'd do that. We operate primarily in a 5,200 square foot space located in the heart of San Francisco. We teach, we learn, we share. Donate. This is, you know, so we finally found someone here, and then he told me about all these other things. They're called hacker spaces. You know, you do that, and you'll find whatever. One's called Gangplank here. The other one's called, what do we got it here? Heatsink, heatsinklabs.org. And this is, I'm really surprised that there isn't more of this. I'm glad there is. It looks like it's really starting to expand. What they do, they open one in Chandler, and they're going to be opening one up in Northwest Valley, too. And I guess it's because of the proximity to the university. You know, there's ASU main campus and the West Campus up here. And their whole thing is that they want to provide workspaces for different things. Now, some of them are more highly funded, like Tech Shop. They are, you know, CNC, plasma, cutting, milling, doing lab kind. You get certified and checked out on a station, well, then you can do whatever you want. You know, we want to make sure you don't break stuff and you know how to use it. And, you know, Shelton comes to mind. But the thing is that you go, okay, you guys got a beat on this? You know, rock on. But you pay a monthly subscription. It could be anywhere from $30 to $100-something a month for you to go in and be able to do whatever you want. And you live in a little itty-bitty studio apartment. You've got some place to go and hang out. And, you know, hopefully it's a workshop and not a, you know, hangout, you know. So that's why we always did the Freedom Speaks workshop. If you weren't, if it wasn't the party going on or something, you were there to work or you were in somebody's way. You were distracted. I mean, that's the only rule I have. I don't give a crap what you're doing. But you don't come here just to hang out and there you and distract everybody. Either you're working or you're in the other room somewhere else. You know, don't be bugging people. And that kept it a really good, productive people go there to get stuff done. Because then you, if you don't, then it's just everybody and you go out in the parking lot and you get the big giant, you know, whiff of marijuana, you know, and that. And then they come in and sit there all red-eyed on the couch and chilling and giggling, you know, which is fine, you know, but not at the workshop, okay? So this is, we're going to be talking about how this works with these guys. So I'm going, all right. And you have, right now you have this Lowe's commercial. You know, it's out. Oh, never stop improving. Oh, you got to go to the low. Yeah, we're going to. And the only thing they're doing is, you know, they're fixing their house and planting their gardens and, you know, doing it in its roses. You know, I'm you know, cool. I'm hip to that. But you know you won when they start, never stop growing. You know, like food. When they start changing the advertising to, you know, hey, we can help you with that, you know, zombie apocalypse food supply thing. You know, you can get mason jars at Home Depot, you know, to can your goodies, you know. So when you start seeing that, when you start seeing it's not about roses, you know, it's about, and it's not about a deck. It's about, you know, converting your deck and part of it and a segue into it. It's easy to just walk out the back door and kind of tend your aquaponics garden. You see my point? You know, when you start having a shift in the culture from, ain't my roses pretty, have my, you know, keeping up with the Joneses, man, don't they wish they had roses like me by my driveway roses? Instead of, look at this watermelon. When that starts to happen in the lamestream media, the media that's so last century, then you can start to see, yeah, see, it's starting. They don't lead it. They follow it. They don't report the news. They spin the olds. You know, this is, so this is when, you know, I feel that, you know, I'm, you know, one less thing I got to do and I move on to something else. But the inspiration of Generation Next to actually get in their freaking lab or to a lab and actually start doing something. And a lot of it, I guarantee you know more than what? The only nanotube reference of anything for a professor at Arizona State University is going around with a grant, you know, zapping, you know, organic stuff looking for nanotubes. You know what makes me reminds me of? Avatar. You know, Avatar, yeah, you know, Pandora. Remember what they said, you know, in the security briefing? You know, they're going, now the Na'vi are very hard to kill. They have naturally occurring carbon fibers in their bones, and they're tough and this and that and kind of and whatever. Oh. So that reminds me of him. He's going around looking for naturally occurring carbon, hard doing nature getting, because he can put the word environmental on it and get a grant. That's it. What does that remind me of? That reminds me of Eisenhower's speech. I keep going on about this. Let me see if I can just pull it up real quick. Because what he was talking about, the scientific technological elite, he wasn't talking about military-industrial complex. That was just a side effect of it. And it's an Eisenhower speech. Text. Because I don't want to see the text. So, farewell address. We got the text of, let's see. Because I remember him saying intellectual curiosity is being replaced with a government grant. I mean, he said it. He goes, look, man, this is, no. You're not getting whatever, no. You know, this is, this computer. Ugh. So I'm going, all right. Instead of having the lone inventor tinkering in his workshop, this is Eisenhower's speech, has been replaced, intellectual curiosity has been replaced by banks of government computers and grants in the service of the technological scientific elite doing blah, blah, blah. And the side effect of that is military-industrial complex. Help fund all their crap, and you don't get it. So all this research, everything, nanotubes is just an example, okay? That is technology. I'm going, man, this is going to change the freaking planet. Graphene sheets. I mean, you go do a Google search on, you know, carbon nanotubes, graphene, you know, it's not graphite, but graphene. You know, imagine a diamond that's just, you know, flat. A sheet of diamond paper. Flexible. Very strong, very conductive. Wrap your Winnebago in, shields up, Captain. I mean, you know, for the weight of nothing. So I'm just, oh, and you talk to they know the professor. He knew. That's why we're having a 20-minute conversation. It was a nice conversation. He was like, wow, man, wow, that kind of, you know, hit me from side day. I'm going, you guys have no idea what's going on. Do you even know? Well, I know how to get a grant. I'm like, okay, here we go. Never stop improving. Well, never stop growing. Never stop being able to sustain it. Never stop learning how to not die. Something. Can you fix a car? You know, I'm just really happy. A lot of times, you know, a lot of technical guys, you know, my family, you know, they're, you know, doing milling this and lathing that and aerospace, whatever. And Sierra's boyfriend, he went to mechanic school and works for a Ford dealership. Well, that boy probably makes as much money on the side to helping everybody and family fixing and doing. He does his job. You know, I'm going, you know, a mechanic in the family? Hell yes. Hell yes. Why? You know, let me tell you, when you got the zombie apocalypse be a coming, you know who the guy that wins is? The guy that can fix stuff. That's the guy. So what do we have? You know, a lot of these, you know, doomsday programs. Oh, yeah, it's we're in the vacant buildings of Detroit. And, you know, what can we do to make and kind of do and stuff? And they got some older guy that actually, you know, did something and he's making power for everybody. So I can see. You know, I'm like, oh, do I got to do this? Well, Donna has not been a believer until just like the last year. And as much as she is a woman of faith and everything, I keep going on and going, no, it's called quantum reality. I mean, you imagine it into existence. It doesn't happen until you start thinking about it. And then you actually start doing, you take one little baby step forward. In my world and in mine, I don't know what your parallel universe has, but in mine, you know, whenever I make a step towards something, I see rapid advancement in that. I think of something, and I'm going, no reason for me to do it, because I know I'm going to get it anyway, because I want it. It's a free market thing. So what's happened is we go, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to imagine into existence all the stuff that we want and need. Now the guys are starting to arrive here. All right, which one are you, Chad or Ryan? You're Chad? Chad's here! Okay, when we come back, Hackerspace. We're going to talk to you. Yeah, we'll see what they got going on. You know, will we be impressed? Will we be encouraged? Will we be inspired? Well, that's what I'm going to try to do for you. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, in just a little bit. You guys hold on.
the use of checkpoints has proliferated in the land of the free, especially since 9/11 and the accompanying security theater. Whether a DUI checkpoint in your town or a permanent checkpoint, more people are realizing what checkpoints are really about. Control. We each are born free. We should have the right to travel freely without showing papers to some strangers who claim our obedience. That's why CheckpointUSA.org, CopBlock.org, and LRN.FM are co-sponsoring the Checkpoint Contest. Create content that educates others about checkpoints and their rights should they encounter one themselves, and you could win an awesome video camera, the movie Gumball 3000. The content can be a compilation of video clips found online, documentation of your own experiences warning others of a checkpoint, print-ready resources, a song, or anything else that gets folks thinking and acting. Visit copblock.org/checkpointcontest for more. The deadline is April 8th. That's copblock.org/checkpointcontest. copblock.org/checkpointcontest.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear, no fear, no fear, no fear, no fear here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, from the BEAUT full studios of Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com. All right, E-Zine. The magazine published tonight by midnight. Donna says she's on track and kind of just got to work all day and gets up early now and maybe take a nap, but E-Zine by midnight. Tomorrow morning, Arizona Breakfast Club. We're going to have a presentation, you know, what they're going to be doing in Mesa and so on. Things going on. I'll tell you all about it on Monday. Or you can go to the Breakfast Club tomorrow morning and find out what's up. Cindy Sheehan coming here. We're going to have a party for her April 20th. You know, Tour de Peace. We're going to kind of get this anti-war kind of what the hell, man. They're going to, you know, be by April 20th. So we'll be telling you all about that. Charles Goyette and I are going to, you know, get the hook up with Cindy. We've been covering her stuff for... Wow, man, it's been since like 04. I mean, that's almost a decade, you know? And who else has been the consistent anti-war? And be progressive, where I don't care, but anti-war. We'll worry about the other stuff later. Then Terry Bressey, Checkpoint USA. The contest is to get a movie right here. Video record, you got it. Oh, and it's got all kinds of goodie attachments here. You have that in your vehicle, and nothing happens that isn't recorded. Hello, officer. So we can take care of that. Then we have, let's see what else is going on. Oh, Quartzsite. You know, we're going to be updating some more on what's going on Quartzsite, you know, and those of you listening, you know what I mean. Oh, Silver Circle Movie. Next week, April 11th, we already distributed the stuff to the media and got them all their information packets and all that kind of stuff. Pollock Theater in Tempe, East Valley over there. We're going to have a theater rented for that evening. We all get to see the premiere here of Silver Circle. Yuck, 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 yuck. So we're going to have some fun with that. All right, let me go tell you what we're going to do for the next 2 hours. We got Chad and Ryan. I'll let them give their last names if they want to when we come on. Now, Chad is an economics and math student at ASU, and at Heatsink Labs, he works with some analog electronics and woodworking, and he plays the drums. Okay, you got to get that in there. All right, then we have Ryan. He's an IT guy for a medium-sized company. You know, he's got a job. You know, and he maintains networks and computer systems, and he's at Heatsink. He's one of the welders, okay? You know, it's always good to have a welder. So you got the welders. He also does programming and robotics and so on of, you know, robots that he welded. So this is what we're going to do. I've already talked to him. I gave him the download. They hadn't even said a word yet. I'm like, all right, we're back in 8 minutes, and here's the lab. Here's the thing. This is what we're doing. This is why, and this is who we are, and then we're going to find out everything about you, okay? So here we go. Let's start off with Ryan, my left here. Ryan, help me out, man. Tell me what your thing, you know, tell me about Heatsink and what it is.
What do you think is primarily the
community workshop? So if you have a thing that you want to build or a project that you want to work on, Heatsink Labs is a place that you can come down to and work on it. So we have a lot of equipment. You mentioned I do welding. We also have a decent-sized lathe. We have a mill. We have a CNC mill, which is sort of in progress to be worked on. We have a laser cutter, some 3D printers, and oscilloscopes and things like this. But that's sort of Heatsink Lab. That's sort of Heatsink Labs. The stuff that I do down there lately has been, you know, more welding and metalwork and stuff like that. I started off doing more, you know, programming of microcontrollers and stuff like that, but I was drawn to the welding because I kind of enjoy metalwork. So,
you know, I have both my sons are about your guys' age. They work at Honeywell Aerospace. So they do CNC. Matter of fact, one of my sons just sold one of his, I don't know, they call it Bridgeport or something, these mm-hmm. big-ass, you know.
Those are really nice.
CNC. You know, it was an old one that he did, probably it had DOS, okay? And he converted and did and whatever, and the uber smart guy. My other son, another great, productive, smart guy. He's a, you know, mill, puts together the engines, the jet engines out there and all that kind of stuff. Would they be welcome? I say, hey, man, they need somebody who knows how to whatever. You should stop by and say, yo, what's up?
Oh, definitely.
You know, I'm sorry, go ahead, Chad.
Definitely, yeah. We get a lot of people who just walk in the door and wonder what kind of place we are. We get people of all different kinds of skills. So.
Well, it looked like you have it's large enough, you know, 5,000 square feet. How did it start? Who funded it? How does it get, you know, it's whatever?
So we started off, the thing that our founders, who Chad and I are not the founders, we're just, you know, really active members, is their primary thing was like build a community first and then slowly start building up a building as it's required. So Heatsink Labs actually started in the back of like a police lodge because they just needed space to get together to work. And then slowly, you know, they outgrew that. Then we moved into a place called Gangplank. Which gave us some space to work out of. We outgrew that, and then we eventually moved into Heatsink Labs, where we are now in Mesa. And we've actually gotten to a point now where we're very close to outgrowing that and moving into our next location.
Wow. 5,000 square feet's not small. Well, yep. What is it? What takes up all the space? What do you guys got?
We have this kind of layout philosophy of kind of clean to dirty. Our space is very long, and so on one end we have a lot of tables for like computer programming, or sometimes we have like presentations where people just talk about things. So it's very kind of clean, a lot of desks and things like that. As we move, if you were to move towards the back, it gets, so it's like metalworking, woodworking.
So the sludge dump is at the other end.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, no, I get it.
We've got some fairly large machines, too. I mean, our laser cutter is quite large. Our lathe takes up quite a bit of space, so do our mills. We have a big welding booth and stuff like that. So it adds up fairly quickly to the point where you're, you know, running right up against the limits of your space and having to sort of get creative with what
you're
doing.
Okay, when we get into the next segment, you know, when we come back, I want you to think about it during the break. Man, there's got to be some cool stuff you guys are working on. Some inspiring, oh my God, if you knew and this and we had a breakthrough on and all this. Hey, cool! Is there some cool? Come on, guys. You know,
there's
come
some
on.
Cool stuff, yeah.
Yeah, cool stuff, cool stuff. You know, this is, I'm really looking forward to having this show. We can talk about a lot of things. And the audience knows, you know, what I'm doing and why and all that. But my thing is that I've like, what took you guys so long? I've been waiting on, you know, this makerspace. You know, we have, you guys know about Cody Wilson, the 3D printing gun guy and all that kind of stuff. He comes on the show a lot. You know, he's been on like six times. His whole concept is he's doing the open source, never take it down files to download to make anything, including guns. I mean, he's not really about guns. That's just the, you know, the show, so regulation, IP, you're not allowed, patent, copyright, and trademark kind of doesn't mean anything anymore. I just make it myself for me. Bite me. And that's really the point. So I can see manufacturing is going to be, oh my God. And when we come back, I want to make sure we get into some of all the cool stuff that you're working on. But what's your skills? I mean, what do you think you bring to the table? And what would round out a really good manufacturing, making, experimenting hacker space? You're going to need some guys that, you know, micro actuators, and, you know, maybe some circuitry and a guy that can solder. Well, and you got, you know, so what do you need to round it out?
Well, you know, we do those things at Heatsink, but it's more of a consequence of the people there just wanting to do those kind of things. It's kind of just a coincidence that that's what we're interested in.
So So it's not like, I mean, it's not like we're like, oh, you know, we need a CNC mill person and we need a, somebody that's good at laser cutting. It's more like, well, hey, we've got somebody here that's really good at machining. We should get them a CNC mill so that they can continue pursuing that stuff. And where we've ended up sort of naturally is having this really great mix of people with a lot of really varied skills. I think that's sort of happened, you know, naturally or on accident or something like that.
So. I still want to get my sons out there just to be inspired by what you're doing. And, you know, they've been working at Honeywell since they were 18. Mm-hmm. I mean, they moved up into management and all this other stuff. I mean, they're, you know, it's, you know, rock and roll and whatnot. And this is exactly the kind of stuff that they just love. And I said, you know, get your butt down there and just get a feel for it. You know, see what's up. See what you can do to help. You know, add to the love-illusion that be a-coming in our heads. You know, it's all, you know, because you know why? Let me tell you why. Because we can. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Chad and Ryan in just a little bit.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
The world on my shoulder. As I'm getting older, your people gets colder. Most of us only care about money making. Selfishness got us following the wrong direction. Wrong information always shown by the media. Negative images is the main criteria. Infecting the young minds faster than bacteria. Kids wanna act like what they see in the cinema. Whatever happened to the values of humanity? Whatever happened to the fairness and equality? Instead of spreading love, we're spreading animosity. Lack of understanding leading us away from unity. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling under. That's the reason why sometimes I'm feeling down. It's no wonder why sometimes I'm feeling under. Gotta keep my faith alive till love is found. Ask yourself, where is
the love? Oh, it's right here. Right here on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock. You know, and you don't even need me to declare independence with. You just do it all by yourself. Here's how it goes. Here it goes. You ready? You guys ready? Here's how it goes. Declare my independence. See how easy it was? And no government form. You know, this is just, you just do it. You just get out. You just start. You say, you know what? I think I should. I'm going to go and I don't need a government grant. We'll just do it. Heat sink. Okay, these guys are starting to have some fun. They're doing, you know, stuff and learning, and we're going to share every little project they got and how they went up and doing their day job and school, and God, I want to know everything. Everything. Because we've had other people on that, you know, they're on to something, but, you know, it's a lot better when you just have this energy. You know, we can do anything that we want. But they have to want. I want to know how they determine what they want to do. Some guys are busy, but they have other skills. Hey, you need me to design a CAD kind of what? You know, I need, so I go to my son. And I said, you know what? Let me tell you what I want. I got grandkids now. You know, I like to have my firearms kind of, you know, out where I can get to them, but I don't want grandkids like, you know, shooting me or themselves or something. I mean, you got to be responsible. So I'm going, is there a way that I can create kind of a safe folding, doing side of the bed kind of get that's a table fold out and kind of take some chloroplast and put and do, and I need, and he goes, yep, done. On the CAD system, go right there and machine this, make this 3D print, done. And I go, oh, that's so good. Okay. Well, you just come up with an idea. Everybody's got a great idea. So can you make it? Are you going to make it? Do you have somebody to help you make it? Well, here you guys, you got guys that can weld and do and fix and have an equipment. And the first thing I want to know is, how the heck do you afford these computer-aided drafting CNC doing making things? Where's the money or the machines come from for that?
Well, we survive based off membership dues, which are... Membership is kind of misleading because we really have a system of regular donations from people who come to the space.
So you get access to it by paying a monthly fee of...
Well, sort of. The rhetoric that we try and say really heavily is like, you know, people look at this. It sort of is confusing, I think, to people that haven't encountered it before, which is to say that, you know, I pay $50 a month to be a member at Heatsink Labs. That's, we call it a membership, but it's really, we say it's more of an automatic donation. So if I were to lose my job and, you know, I couldn't pay my dues or something like that, there's very likely ever to be a situation where somebody would say, well, I'm sorry, Ryan, but you're no longer welcome because you can't pay. It's more of the people that can do And I mean, pretty much everyone can because we're mostly engineers. But it's not, it's really, we try and stress really hard that it's not a fee. You're not buying anything because we don't have any staff. There's no one there that's going to take out the trash. You have to take out the trash if you want the trash to be out. And if you want a tool, then you're going to have to champion it. And if you want something done, you have to do it. There's no staff to do anything for you.
You have to champion it. I hear you guys say that a lot. What does that mean?
I guess that is kind of one of our terms. Well, when you kind of take responsibility for a station or a part of the lab, we say you're championing it. Or I guess in general, we have this principle of duocracy. If you want something done to the space, you have to do it. And in doing so, you take responsibility for it. You champion it.
There's no committee. There's no vote. There's no requisition form.
So we do have a regular sort of democratic process of voting for rules, but we all really hate it. It's really bureaucratic, and it takes forever.
So it's just a spontaneous order kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, we do every other week or bi-monthly, we have, we call it Hack Your Hacker Space, which is we come in and we clean the space. And if there are any issues that we need to actually take a community vote on, that's when we vote on it. So,
Freddie, put your crap up. I'm sick and tired of cleaning up after you and you broke the whatever and how you're paying for it and kind of good. Tell me how you do conflict resolution.
It's actually, if somebody's crap is in your way, you would probably just move it. And there's a mutual respect that has to be done there, which is like, don't damage my project. Don't just move my project because you don't like me. If it legitimately is in your way, go ahead and move it, which is...
All right. No, we had Freedom's Phoenix Workshop. You know, we've been years doing this. This is my... fifth workshop. We've been doing this since 1994, okay? So when we do the Levolution and we have this, or we did the studio, and this is all part of a studio that we built in our little hackerspace thing and all this kind of stuff, we moved it up here so that we could have property to start doing some growing stuff that we wanted to do. But I tell you, I understand perfectly, because we've been doing this for a long time, I understand how it works. But there's always a an influential individual or group of people. Somebody's signing the lease. Uh-huh. Somebody, something's doing something. I mean, who's that? What's that?
Yeah, we do have someone signing the lease. One of our founders who's been in this space forever, he signed the lease for our current space.
And as a donation, as a encouragement, as a, you know, that's going to go out, or I get a cut. Oh, yeah, when you guys do the big giant save the planet stuff, someone says, man.
More so just because we needed someone to do it, and he's really nice, so.
It's just, I mean, it's the duocracy thing. Like, hey, we need a hackerspace. Like, if no one signs the lease, we don't have a hackerspace. Like, well, I guess I'll sign the lease then, because if I don't, then we won't have it. And I did it, and now we have it.
Well, so. I'm wondering, well, you know, there's some, I'll tell you some of the concerns that I've had, you know, years that we do this, and it's like, you know, yep, everybody comes in, do whatever, clean up your crap, and then let me tell you what the rule is. This is the rule that I had. Whatever you guys do cannot affect whatever I want to do. All the stuff that we got in there, you guys do whatever you want, but the second I need to do something I want, you broke it, or I can't find it, or you screwed it up, or you didn't clean it, all of a sudden Ernie has an opinion, okay? Until then, I don't care, all right? So that's pretty much how we ran that, but there's liability issues. Mm-hmm. You know, there's somebody did, I'm working on, and it blew up, and arm got cut off, a kind of something sign, insurance, day law, oh my God, somebody's going to have something to say about something. You know, the suit of, and they didn't, and I got my hair pulled into and wrapped around the, you know, oh my God, how do you guys deal with that?
Well, we do have a liability waiver in general, but for things like the lathe, we teach classes on it. We generally just don't let people use it unless we know that they know how to use it first.
Yeah, there's a kind of like a checked out, certified. Now, there's other groups. We did the research on this. You know, we had, Tech Shop or something, mm-hmm. this kind of subscription thing. Then you have, like you were saying, Gangplank was kind of mm-hmm. a similar kind of deal. You know, what makes you guys different? Why? What's the difference between them?
Well, Tech Shop's actually coming to Phoenix, too, which is really exciting. Tech Shop is more like a health club model. You know, you pay to play. You pay your $100 a month or whatever it is. I think Tech Shop's fairly expensive. You go in, you work on your project, and then you leave. And not to bash on Tech Shop at all, because I'm really excited for Tech Shop to come to Phoenix. That's going to be really, really great. But some of the people that I know that do work out of Tech Shop have said that the community aspect of it is not quite as strong.
Yeah, that's a, you know, another thing. I'm wondering how you maintain the community aspect. And what community is it? You know, is it, neocon kind of, we got to make the best war machine? Or is it, you know, more a progressive kind of, we're wanting to feed it? Or is it a libertarian leave me aloneism? Or is it, you know, what? I don't know. A combination? We'll find out when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with my new best friends.
Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what the readers of FreedomsPhoenix.com get every day. FreedomsPhoenix.com constantly providing the information, the real news about government policies, and the real relationship we all have with the coercive government. The real condition of the economy, innovations in technology, breakthroughs in energy, health, and computer science. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media. The corporate media, nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but now there's an alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com. Constant news updates on the issues that affect your life in the most important ways. With liberty and property under constant attack, FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda, and it encourages the participation of its readers. Go to FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com. The revolution between the ears has already happened.
While our satellite channel is free to listen to, it's not free for us. You can help us cover our satellite costs with the chip-in on the right side of the page at lrn.fm.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
You know, this is what I want to make sure that we deal. That's why I wanted to spend time with them. It's about community. See, we see what's coming. I know it's love illusion, all right? And I'm telling you, you know, it's not going to be about, you know, this guy's worse than, you know, the lesser evils or any of that kind of crap. Because people, they just pick, you know, I don't need to go over to this. You know, I'm going to go to this hacker space day law is not as bad as you. How about I just start my own? How about I do what I want to do? How about I make what I want to make? How about, you know, and then you have people dealing with people. There has been, you know, is there a law? Is there a guy with a shiny badge and a gun? Is there somebody up there with, you know, a document of daylight? Or do you just, you know, nice people deal with nice people and you're not nice people, get out of here, you're not nice people? I mean, you know, how does this work? Because what we're looking in and starting the new the newsletter, morphing the magazine into what we're doing here in the future next month or two as we're combining this, is I don't see technology as the bottleneck. We're going to be able to produce enough food. We've already done it last year. We made sure we got more than we're good. Okay. So now we're going to try and make it compact. We're going to build the geodesics out. Oh, yeah. One of you guys is a geodesic guy, aren't you? That's right. I'll show you one. Okay. Yeah, we got skills, man. We know what's up. So what we're going to do is do a double geodesic out here in the garden area and hook it up into the aquaponics through the pond. So we can demonstrate, okay, yeah, you make food. Done. Chickens, eggs. I love chicken. Chickens are good. All right. I am of the opinion that's not the problem. How big a yard do you need? How much space do you need? How much, you know, a government you don't need? What? How do you do conflict resolution? How do you get along with your neighbor? How do you excommunicate somebody? Are there people? I mean, they're just some crazy, freaking destructive pain in my butt. They shouldn't be here. People, then what? You know, is there some kind of sergeant at arms kind of thing? This is what our focus is going to be. I am not worried about our capacity to survive because we got these guys, Generation Next. They're like, man, we are so all over this. I know. I was them 20 years ago. I get it. Get out of my way. I'll make it happen. Nyum, nyum, nyum. But how? That's why Larkin Rose is helping us. Now he's like, yeah, you know, we need to think about this. You know, if you, Ernie, you're such an anarchist. That's what everybody always says. You're such an anarchist. Compared to what? What we got now? What, we need more war? I mean, you know, my choice is what we got now or none. I vote none. Okay? I mean, seriously, is that my choice? So I want to talk about how you guys do conflict resolution. You know, let's go ahead and get into the community aspect of this.
Well, so my personal philosophy on doing conflict resolution, which maybe isn't perfect, but is to use social pressure to do it. So one of the big things that we do at HeatSync Labs are sort of phrase that were, if you were in the lab, you'd hear it all the time and somebody would probably say it to you if you sat down, is what are you working on? So if someone's sitting there and they're not sort of adhering to what our community standards are, which is be doing something. We're not a place to come and play video games. We're not a place to come and watch YouTube. We're a place come and do.
It's a workshop, not the honeycomb hideout.
So if somebody's sitting there doing that, all of our members know, or most of our members know, to go up to them and say, well, hey, what are you working on? And use that sort of social pressure to encourage them to participate in the way that we want them to.
Does this sound familiar, guys? Because I always go, look, no, it's the workshop. And if you're not working, then you're bugging somebody or distracting somebody from them working, and you're just being a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah.
Is that kind of the attitude?
Oh, yeah, that does happen. Sometimes people just want to get work done. Someone's, you know, over your shoulder, just keeps talking or something. I think that happens to a handful of us in the lab.
For sure.
So you know, when someone's just, you know, just not, you know, they come in stoned, they're drinking, they got their kind of breaking, doing pain in the butt, never cleaning, whatever, how are they excommunicated from the church?
So we're really, really lucky in that we've only had to do this one time. And there was a member that was doing things like that, and it actually became such an issue that we put it to a community vote and said, do we want to effectively revoke this person's membership? They were exploiting the lab. I mean, they were taking more than they were putting in, sort of thing. And it became a problem for everyone. And they this was actually before my time, but they voted basically saying, I'm sorry, but you're no longer welcome here. And luckily, that's only happened once.
Yeah, you know, it's really great the way it's worked out. We don't, it's really interesting seeing the kind of people who just walk in the door. What kind of people are they? You know, do they come in and are they excited and then they start contributing to the space immediately? Or do they come in and they want you to make them $1 million for their idea? I think, in general, the kind of people who aren't going to contribute to the lab actually just don't want to stay around very long. They just don't get anything out of it, really.
Yeah, it'll be really uncomfortable. If you're somebody that's going to come in and you want... Because we get people that come in all the time. They're like, hey, I've got such a great idea. And
you
I just
know what
need-
you should do?
Yeah.
You should. I got a whole stack of you shoulds, man. I go, yeah, does it have your name on it? You know, are you doing it? So you get a lot of you should guys?
Absolutely. It's like, I just need some of you nerds to make the thing. It'll be really, that part's really easy, right? Those people will be really, really, really uncomfortable at HeatSync Labs because they'll be sitting there, you know, and no one will be helping them with those things generally. And so it's that sort of social pressure that keeps the
How long have you guys been doing this?
Oh, wait, I think HeatSync's about 4 years old at this point, right?
I think so. We've been in Mesa for coming up on 2 years this June.
Okay. So the people that do work on things, I'm wondering what the evolution has been. They came in wanting to do one thing or one industry or what, and it kind of evolved into something. I mean, what's hot right now and what has been hot and kind of moved on to be developed?
Hot. Well, we talked about what defines HeatSync a little bit ago, but something that's really unique is that, you know, we're not necessarily for profit. The people who are in there are not necessarily there to make money, although some of them do make a living doing stuff in HeatSync. But all of our projects are very eclectic. We're all very different.
If you want to talk about specific projects, one of the projects that I'm doing right now is I'm pretty heavily involved with something. I don't know if you've heard of it, called Burning Man. Do you know Burning Man?
Yeah.
Okay, so I go to Burning Man and stuff. And so
we have a Jackalope Freedom Festival first weekend in August. You would be welcome and enjoy. We'll talk about that later. Okay, go ahead.
So one of the projects that we're working on now is for that festival. That was also where I built the geodesic dome that we talked about. But I've gotten into making bells out of old welding tanks, which is kind of cool. And
I got three empty ones out there. Just you saw them out there. That's what they're for.
Well, did they have acetylene in them first? Because if they had acetylene, I don't want anything to do with it. Yeah. CO2 only. Or
you learned that lesson.
So, yeah. Well, luckily, I haven't learned that lesson, which is why I'm still here talking to you. But where that project is going is... you know, I have this thing where there's a lot of people that walk past my house all the time. I live on a fairly busy street. And they always are like looking at their phone or they're looking at the ground or they're just not paying attention. And I'm from the Midwest. I'm really outgoing. So I always yell at them. I'm like, hey, how are you doing? You know, what are you doing tonight? Which really throws them off. So the thing that I've been doing with these bells, we'll take them to Burning Man eventually, but putting them right by the sidewalk and then trying to get people to ring them when they go by. And it blows their minds because it's so strange to them that somebody would be talking to them and asking them to, you know, play with this bell thing that's sitting there. So that's one of the projects that I've been working on lately.
Right. So as people pass your house, they just ring the bell. Ding.
Well, it's funny. Some of them do, but some people try so hard not to notice this giant steel bell and big welded frame sitting right next to the side. It's kind of funny to watch, actually. My girlfriend and I will sit out there and sort of just watch them go by. And
come on. You know you want to ring it.
Yeah. That's really funny.
And they're really good sounding, too. You know, we have really cool. You know, we talked about Revis Mountain Survival School thing out by Lake Roosevelt. He has like 100 acres mm-hmm. of a hippie commune, kind of whatever out there, botanical tinctures of living in the desert thing. And they have three or four of these steel tank bells, mm-hmm. and they're loud. And they sound really good, too. Yeah. I mean, you could use them to play on. Yeah. So, you know, that's it. So I saved those over there because I can't use them for anything else. So we'll have some fun. I'd like to see what you did with that. Now, I'll put it out here.
Cool.
You know, there are people riding their horses out here and everything. Come by and ding it. You know, go ahead. That'd be cool. So what are you working on?
Wait.
I want to make sure I get that. You're Ryan, right?
No, Chad.
You're Chad. Yeah. Chad and Ryan. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So this is Chad. Go ahead, Chad.
I've recently kind of gotten into graphic pixel art and stuff, and I'm doing that a ton.
Graphic what?
Pixel art on computers. Uh-huh. I'm doing that a bunch, and I might get paid for it soon. It's exciting. So.
What do you mean? Like, what, just Photoshop kind of stuff? Or?
No, like MS Paint, like specific pixels, specific colors.
Individual pixels.
Yeah, like video game kind of art and stuff. Yeah.
All right, cool. You know, that's another thing I want to talk about. You know, hackerspace have a lot of computers, a lot of laptops done there in comparison to, you know, how much actual machining metal shavings everywhere. We'll find out.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Yeah. Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona. In studio, we have Ryan and Chad. And the one thing that we're talking about, they're kind of, their ears perk up a little bit. They're going, oh, community. You're talking about the community. Yeah, I think they're of the same mind. You know, this technology thing, we got it taken care of, man. Don't worry about it. We'll get whatever. We just need the man out of the way, and we'll take care of it. It's all good. We get along just fine. We do it. We don't need, you know, force and coercion and kind of whatever. But he's like, yeah, we checked out your page a little bit. We're looking at Freedom Fin. We saw that. I mean, you kind of like, we're supportive of Occupy. And they're like, I mean, I don't say support is. I mean, we cooperate with them. We work with them. We want people to find answers. We want to help. We, you know, participate with youth out there asking questions daylight. But, you know, there's other forces at work on that. And we knew, you know, so we were very effective in communicating with these guys. And I'm going, why would you bring up the Occupy thing? And I said, save it for the air, don't blow everything, you know, now in the break. So go ahead and talk to me about what you wanted to say.
Well, so one of the things, and again, this is totally divorced from Heatsink Labs, I think, but that I was reading about, I read a really great article talking about sort of the downfall of Occupy and where Occupy started to fail, and what this journalist...
From the beginning, by how, what they tried, what, go ahead.
Well, what this journalist was talking about was that there wasn't a very cohesive message within that community, and what happened was you had, like, a small group of very passionate people that started that didn't defend their community in any way. And then people started slowly sort of filtering into it that did not share the same belief and eventually took it over from them. And then it sort of fell apart.
I got my opinion, but, you know, it just, you're never going to have a collective solution to fighting collectivism.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, what was the real problem? And that's what, you know, it kind of started to break apart because there was a lot of revolutionaries going to every one of these all over the country. We were making thousands of DVDs that were going around the country being passed out at these events. Like, you want to know what's going on? Let me tell you what's going on. It's called central banking. That's what's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, this is all about, you know, soak the rich and do this. And Cyprus, we're going to take everybody's bank account and we're taking more from the rich people so you poor people can be happy that we only took 6% and we took 10% from them. Yay. I mean, you know, this kind of, you know, it's the attitude. So we're kind of, look, you know, this is what the enemy looks like. This is who they are. Yes, it's community. You don't need to use coercive force of government to create. If you got to use coercion from the beginning, you're already screwed up before you even started. You know, so that's why, like, you know, Cindy Sheehan, She's coming over to a private party here April 20th. You guys are welcome to come. She's going to start the peace thing going around. We've been working with her since, God, 04, 05. You know, very progressive. I'm in the ditch with the fire ants in Camp Casey in freaking outside Bush's compound in Texas, covering it for Air America. I was a talk show host and producer on Air America affiliate here. I get the left. I understand. We want the same things. We have the same goals. It's just how. No coercion. That's why I like the hacker space and what you're doing and how you're creating the conflict resolution stuff is why it's so important to me. So I'm, when you're saying there was a loss of vision or focus, well, it doesn't matter how high you go up on the ladder if the ladder's on the wrong freaking wall. It doesn't make any difference. If you're going down the long road, I don't care how the further you go down it, the worse you are. So I'm just going, I'm trying, and that's the influence that we would have. People go in, they're the most productive. They're most helpful. They're most generous. But, man, they are definitely about, you know, leave me alone-ism. So I really want to hear more about the community, the types of people that for years are able to work together. And I would say relative harmony, you think?
Yeah, we've had some members who've been around for quite a while.
But what's the average age?
Oh, I don't know. That's hard. I'm 22. I'm pretty young in the space. I think we've got... The oldest member I can think of is probably in his like 50s or 60s or something.
Oh my God, agent. You know,
we've got people all the way from some young kids that are like 10 and 12 or something like that, all the way up to some guys that are retired that come, you know, down that were engineers at Intel or something, and they are still looking to fulfill that part of their life. So they come to the lab and do projects there. So awesome. I mean, it totally runs the gamut of age.
Well, you think the median's probably around, is it under 30, over 30?
It's probably mostly people that are in their 20s and maybe early 30s, I would say, is if you had to put a median on it. Yeah.
So I run down there and I go, you know, it's interesting that, you know, to me, you know, that there isn't more research on, you know, kind of the stuff that I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that I'm wondering, is there, you know, like battery stuff, energy stuff, solar stuff, or is it just electronics, maybe robotics? I mean, what's the popular projects?
We do have a lot of batteries in the space, and so we do have a lot of electrical engineers who have to know about batteries. We've had some solar projects, like people building we have a new member who's working on some really complicated solar projects.
Yeah, he wants to build, like, well, I mean, he works in the solar industry, and he wants to build, like, a solar death ray sort of thing, which is really cool.
Well, by what? Focusing light or creating a laser or what?
Focusing light from the sun, yeah.
Oh, so what do they call him? Frenzel lens or something?
Something like that, yeah. He's a physics guy that's, you know, I don't know. I don't understand most of the stuff that he's doing, honestly.
I got a 10-foot satellite dish out there you saw. It's exactly what's going on. We're going to create a manifold to heat the doing I get my pool.
You know, one of the things that I wanted to talk about a little bit was you were talking a bit in, during one of the breaks about scarcity or energy and why energy, if we reach a point where we have unlimited energy, like what happens then, right?
Right.
And I think that heatsink is, you know, heavily, most of our members are definitely, at least overlap with sort of the open source community, yep. Which I'm sure you're familiar with open source and stuff.
Very much.
I think open source we're seeing in our community here, or in the open source community in general, you're seeing what happens when, or at least a parallel to what would happen if we had unlimited energy. In the open source community, you know, you don't have to pay for anything. You don't need to pay for a web server. You don't need to pay for a programming language. You don't need to pay for a compiler. You don't need to pay for any of these things. And so the only limit is what, you know, you can create. And then the communities have, or what are what's called a meritocracy. So if I'm a really, really, really talented developer, I am very powerful within the community by virtue of the fact that I can do things really, really well, not by virtue of the fact of what I can purchase.
No, 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 no. You got to have a shiny badge and stripes on your sleeve that give you the authority to be respected of being, you see my point?
Yeah.
That's a meritocracy. Oh my gosh. You know, by merits we shall know you. Oh, God, man. What are you, Ayn Rand? Okay. So, what is your political philosophy? I mean, do you even have one? Do you care?
No, I'm too. I hate them all, I guess. That's what she's saying.
Amen, brother. Leave me alone as what about you?
Yeah, I'm pretty indifferent. I try to avoid it, frankly.
Right on. You know, this is, and that's kind of our thing. It's a, you know, they call it voluntarism. It's kind of evolved, you know, anarchist voluntarism. It's just leave me aloneism. So I'm just like, look, just, you know, you respect other people's stuff and their, and respect their efforts and what they bring to the table and whatever. As long as they're not taken from you, what do you care? You know, instead of trying to collectively manage everyone. Mm-hmm. I mean, you don't have a vote that Everybody should work on this project. No. Doesn't work like that.
In fact, we've had to fight that a little bit. There are some people in our community that don't understand or don't agree with the idea of, you know, duocracy and meritocracy and stuff like that, and have tried really hard to sort of set up this rigid, authoritative, you know, board that would dictate how everything functions.
If everybody spent 5 minutes and $5 on what I want to do, we would get what I want.
And that's really counter to our philosophy, I would say.
Amen, man. Right on. Well, yeah. You know, that's you could validate that just by how long you've been successful and nobody shot anybody. I mean, you know, that's how it works.
And that's exactly what we tell them too. You know, some of these people that are like, you know, you guys, you know, I'm going to come into your space and I'm going to fix everything. You know, if you only did it like this, then you'd be successful. And we kind of turn around and look and like, yeah, if only we could figure out how to get a building and a bunch of people to come down and build stuff all the time. Thank you for coming in so that we can finally make a happy space. You know what I mean?
It is a really weird mindset that I think we all have to get into it. And he's like, sometimes I give tours to people or I meet people and they're like, oh yeah, I could do this, I could do that, I could do the other thing, and then like at this point it's become kind of meaningless. Like unless you actually do it, then it doesn't, I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's really cool too, and that's a thing that we have to deal with a little bit, is when people come down and they're like, they have all these really great ideas, and forever until they've found HeatSync they're like, you know, I would make this thing except for I don't have a tool to do it, so that's why I'm not doing it. So they come down to HeatSync Labs and they're suddenly given every resource that they could possibly want to make whatever they want. And it's really terrifying. And I mean, I experienced this a bit as well. Like I came in and suddenly there's no friction to make what I want. And it's really kind of daunting, actually.
It is. I'm going to show you guys some stuff there. I want to help, you know, if not create our own thing. Heck, I'm up in Northwest Valley or something. You know, I contact ASU West up here. Look, is there any students that are even interested in this kind of stuff? I mean, here it is. I mean, I can only do so many experiments. I'm busy. But I mean, you know, let's rock and roll. You know, the guys that work on this more and help is guys my age, 40, 50 years old. They're going, man, this is cool. Let's do this. Let's do that. Let's help with this. Let's help with that. You know, so we're very experienced with this. But if if the wheel's already turning and it's not broke, you know, maybe we can help. I want to encourage you. I want to take a tour. Schedule something? Totally. Let the listener, sure, we'll set a date. We'll go down there and we'll party. You know, I'll pay for the pizza, man. I mean, we're just, you know, that's what we're going to do.
You too, hopefully.
We're going to HeatSync. I don't know when we'll schedule it. We'll fix it up. We'll get it taken care of. And damn, lots of pictures and videos. We're going to have some fun. You guys stay right there.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
No fear! Just, you know, a lot of the people that are dealing in hacker spaces, you know, the community is, and Mitch was telling us this. He goes, look, man, yeah, you're bored. You got nothing to do. What are you going to do? Go to the nightclub, spend a bunch of money on drinks, and kind of sort of just get, buy a lot of free drinks for the female you're not taking home anyway. You know, what about if you just went hacker space Detroit? Well, maybe not Detroit, but, you know, hackerspace, you know, wherever you're at. And you do that, and boom, that's how we did it. We go, okay, I just need to know the term. A lot of times, you just need to know the terminology. What word are you Googling? Okay, or searching on whatever. And I go, hackerspace, Arizona, boom, here you go. And he already knew HeatSync and Gangplank. And we'll talk about Gangplank a little bit, what they do, because I think you're going to come in, too, later. So I'm going, all right, this community, is it just America? Is it worldwide? Do they, it's all a second language, everybody else is English, and we're the only ones that don't speak another language? Or is it, you know, kind of doesn't matter? You do Google Translator or something? It's like, you know, we do our, you know, 39 languages we translate into. Are you real time sitting there with your translator like at Star Trek now? They actually have. You're talking to Siri, you know, hey, where's the bathroom? Say it in Chinese, dong dong jing da, whatever. I mean, you can do this kind of stuff worldwide. I want to hear about that. Go ahead and tell me, guys, you know, either one of you, you know, this worldwide hackerspace thing, when did it start? How's it developing? How do you use it?
Well, I think one of the first hackerspaces was Seabase in Berlin. And actually, this last winter, a bunch of us at HeatSync, we kind of went to a bunch of conferences out there, and we checked out a bunch of hackerspaces in Germany and Europe as a whole. But that's a cool thing.
So like, you went to Europe just to check out the hackerspaces?
Oh, that's a big part. We also went to sort of hacker conferences where basically a bunch of people from all around the world came together to talk about this kind of stuff.
I forgot to tell you. Okay. For over a decade, we do a thing called Freedom Summit, freedomsummit.com. We've had the big boys kind of before they were famous, you know, the Lou Rockwells and the Ron Pauls three times and the this guy and the that guy and this, you know, anti-war, what you call it, and they're going to save the planet people. And we were warning our friends and supporters and everything. We said, look, this is what's coming. You know, we predated, you know, Peter Schiff up there doing, you know, here comes the economic meltdown, de la, and we, the other shoe hadn't even dropped yet. So I'm going, here it comes. So now what do we do? Told you so. I mean, you know what? You know, why would we do that? We're looking for this February in 14, the 14th to the 16th, that's 2.5 days, we're going to make it all about hackerspace. It's all about maker community. It's all about the, you know, the kind of stuff that you're doing. And I already have, Cody Wilson has already agreed to come and speak at it. You know, we've become good friends. So I'm like, you know what? I want to make you what? I want to make sure you're available this President's Day weekend. So we have a 3-day weekend to come and do this. I would think that you would have somebody that might want to present something, have something to say, be able to share. Cool thing. This community is global. That is what the Freedom Summit in February is about. Okay, so I want to make sure I got that out to you guys. Okay, go ahead.
Well, that sounds really cool. But I guess about hackerspaces around the world in general is a lot of us, it's like, yeah, if we go to a new city or something, like, why not drop by at the local hackerspace? And plenty of people around the world do that at HeatSync, too. They just go like, hey, I know what you guys are about. Can I spend a few hours, you know, working on my projects or getting to know you guys or something like that? It's great. So.
Well, is it a lot of times there's stuff like you got a little travel hacker space bag that you take your project with you wherever you go and you just kind of keep working on it, you know, and show off at the guys in St. Louis kind of thing?
Well, kind of. If you're a programmer, it's like you could take your laptop anywhere, right, and do it. But we actually have hackerspace passports, and people all around the world have them, and they get stamps when they go to a new place, sort of as like a collector thing.
Oh, that's so cool. How long has this been going on?
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know when Seabase would have started.
Seabase is at least 20 years old at this point.
What's really cool is that this concept is, I don't know what is causing this or whatever, but it's popping up in a lot of different communities. So
because education institutions suck, that's why.
Well, so like we call it a hackerspace, which is like, you know, we have programmers and we have people that are doing microcontroller development and welders and stuff like that. That's probably what you'd find in most hackerspaces. But this concept is also popping up in musicians. Are starting to build this. I was really surprised to find out that some of my friends who are artists were really intrigued by this, and they don't have this yet, it sounded like, which is very odd to me. But there was actually some seamstresses, or is that the term for people that sew, I think,
yeah,
were made one of these in Phoenix. There's a place in downtown Phoenix where you can go, and it's basically a hackerspace for sewing. And this concept of hackerspaces, these like community-funded sort of places, are starting to prop up in a lot of different communities, which is really cool.
I came across a sewing thing. When I was looking for some, there was a sewing thing. I thought that was interesting.
Was it in downtown Phoenix?
I can't even remember. It had some cute slogan like, so you want a something, you know, that kind of deal. You know, So I noticed that. And I tell you, we had to... I had to learn how to sew because I had to create the covering for my geodesic dome. So, you know, this is, you know, we can talk about that. You know, tell me about your geodesic experience. So
my geodesic dome, building the dome did not take that long. Building the struts, it's a two, what's the term here? It was 2 years ago when I built it. It's a 2V dome. It's made out of electrical metal conduit. Yeah.
That's how we did it,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. It's 16 feet across, I think, diameter.
That's exactly what mine was, 8 foot.
Yeah, so it was really, really cool. Radius. Building the struts was not difficult. The first attempt that I did, I used a parachute as the cover, and we took it to Saguaro Man, which is our regional Burning Man thing here in Arizona. And it was god-awful. It was like the worst thing ever to sleep in because it was really, really cold at night and really, really hot during the day. It was terrible. But for Burning Man last year, my girlfriend helped me sew a cover for it, and that took us like 2 months of sewing. It was really, really difficult to do. But the cover that we made it out of like shade cloth or blackout shade that you'd use if you were building like a theater or something, and sewed that and sort of made the cover for the geodesic dome.
Okay, let me tell you the secret. There is software online that has, you can, I'm going to show you how you create the like triangle slices and the pattern and do and sew together. And then I'll show you what we built and you'll go, ow.
Yeah, we learned a lot. It was a lot of geometry and stuff. More surprising, you know, to surprised at how much geometry we had to put into, you know, cutting these pieces and stuff.
I didn't. I just copied it. I go, there's a template. So I, as a matter of fact, that was the biggest problem. How are we going to cover this? And one of the guys, you know, one of the activists, he goes, I found the site. And you say, how many panels do you want? 10 panels to cover it? 5 panels? 20 panels? Mm-hmm. How do you want to do it? Well, we had the cloth was only so wide. It was 30, you know, 8, 9, 40 inches or something. So I needed enough to keep it within that. We stacked them all, put the template on top, cut them all at one time, sewed them together, done. I did the entire dome, making the dome, sewing it in a week and a half.
Wow. Well, I wish we would have known about that
I'm
last
show
summer.
You.
Because,
you know, that, a matter of fact, Pork Fest, it goes on at the Free State Project thing up there. The offer they want me to come this year. We've gone like the last 3 years. Well, they want to make sure we come this year. And I'm kind of, you know, I spent a lot of money on that. And we took our dome up there and, you know, had some fun with it. Well, I go to, you know, the campground owner of Rogers Campground up there. I've got to know him over the years and cool. And he comes on the show and I said, look, if he'll let us build a geodesic dome as a semi-permanent structure and everything, mm-hmm. pay for just the supplies, we'll do it. Because mm-hmm. they need another pavilion thing. I go, I'll make you a 24-foot, you know, diameter kick-ass dome.
Some of them in the camp that we went with this year, the camp that, you know, we're members of, has some really, really nice geodesic domes, like really big ones that they hung silks from it. Somebody was doing aerial silks from it, which was really cool. But to contrast that with, I think if we built the same one, it would be, you'd see why aerial silks would be a bad idea.
But we'll talk about this. I'll show you some stuff to, you know, the audience, they don't want to hear about, you know, the dome kind of stuff because they already know. But, okay, we'll talk about it maybe a little bit. But I'll go ahead and show you, you know, the software. I'll send you, you know, here's the freaking template. You put in the number, it spits out the whatever. I'm a dumb, I ain't doing algebra to make, you know, show me online.
Arizona has been one of the hottest real estate markets in the past, up until the last couple of years. Homes that were once going for $500,000 to $1 million in prestigious areas are now going for less than half of what the original purchase price was. That makes it a very good time to buy. So if you were ever thinking of retiring to Arizona's inviting climate and laid-back and friendly lifestyle, now is the time. That's where I can help. This is Donna Hancock with Brangus Realty, and I have provided a way for you to search for properties that are of interest to you, all at your own convenience and without having to give out any personal information. Visit my webpage at donnahancock.com to start your search today. And when you're ready to make a move to Arizona's warm and sunny climate, please feel free to call or text me at 602-828-1819. Many are working hard to make sure Arizona is not only a beautiful place to live, but a free and peaceful one as well. So what are you waiting for? Make your move today by calling 602-828-1819. And don't forget to visit my webpage at donnahancock.com.
Listen to LRN.FM on any phone, anytime. 213-493-0309. That's 213-493-0309.
To be a part of the show, call 602-264-2800. 602-264-2800. And now, Ernest Hancock.
Okay, we're right back. I wasn't ready. I was playing with the, you know, stuff. All right. You made a dome. Now, there's different kinds. They call 1V, 2V, 3V, 4V. What it means is how many different segments are used at are different sizes. Because when you put these together, it's like you got, you know, a hub of different size, you know, rods that, you know, sit and you got in your whatever. If you have three different sizes, it creates a different kind of shape. It's more round and you get straighter sides and more area and all that kind of stuff. But if you do 2V, which is what Ross Edwards did, don't tread on meme, he did it for his dog. He goes, hey, man, this is cool. I'll just do 2V, make it easier to put together, and so on. I just need shade for the dog out in the desert, and boom, and he made it. And it went together easier and faster and so on. But the rods are longer, and it's not, you know, like we're hanging from the center of the thing. Probably a 2V, you wouldn't be able to do that with a half-inch conduit. Now, what we're going to do is the same thing, and this might be something you guys might want to play with. What we're going to do is we're going to create a larger dome that will be made with 3/4-inch conduit. So you got more, it's sturdier. Maybe we go to 4V so the rods aren't as long. So it's going to be very strong. Mm-hmm. You know, all you have to do, what would you do for covering? You cover it with chicken wire, spray it with shot fiberglass like you're doing a boat hull. You got an upside down boat.
Yeah,
it ain't going to leak, you know. So, and then you can insulate the inside. And that's one thing that we're wanting to do. We have some land up somewhere, and I'm going, you know, I bet you I could have the entire thing on my trailer, pull it up there, get it assembled in a day, and then the next day, you know, spray it with papercrete or shotcrete or fiberglass, and I got a house. Mm-hmm. I'm done, man. You know, so this, I mean, geodesic, in your experience, are you seeing, like, oh, there's possibilities in the future for that?
Yeah, no, I think geodesic domes are really, really, really awesome, and especially with my involvement with the burner community and stuff. They're everywhere. If you go to Burning Man, there's like a million geodesic domes. It's like the default thing that people build. But I think they're really awesome structures for that, for the reason that you're describing, which is like, I have a dome that's sitting next to my driveway, disassembled, you know. It doesn't rust because everything's galvanized and stuff, which is really nice. But like, I can just pick it up and take it somewhere and assemble it and have like a pretty good sized, you know, structure that we can use that's really easy to take down and set up and everything. It's really great. So
I wouldn't say it's really easy. Guys, that have helped me, especially doing a 3-phase, man. You got the chart out. Okay, wait a minute. This one goes here. This one goes, and we color-coded them. They were gold, white, and black, yeah. You know. So we can't, but a lot of that was for educational purposes, because I did that, and I took it and trailered it all the way to New Hampshire across the country, pulling that money dome and the money lift and all this other stuff, because I wanted to make sure that expose people in the Freedom community how easy it is to stay dry, how easy it is to warm yourself, how easy it is to build a freaking city out of this stuff. All you just got to do is get the clipboards out of the way of the man coming with a badge saying, you're not allowed. I'm going, no. Now, that's another thing. Your hackerspace over here, I'm wondering, you know, is there any regulation? You have a guy coming in and said, oh, I'm sorry, you're not supposed to fill in the blank, or you're not draining the right whatever. I mean, what city are you guys in?
We're in Mesa, and we do have to deal with stuff like fire codes and, you know, like sign regulations and things like that.
The city is really supportive of us, though. I mean, we are, I mean, not to, you know, be arrogant or something, but we are a really great thing that I think they're really happy to have in their city. Right. So I think that they're, you know, semi-willing to work with us. They're not trying to get rid of us obnoxious hackers. You know, if we mess up something, I think they might be more willing to work with us on it instead of kicking us out.
Cool. Yeah, you're not trying to, you know, I don't want to get the shiny badge or the ring of power or the lever or anything. I'm just we're libertarian hobbits. We just want to take the ring and chuck it in the fires of Mordor. Okay. Yeah. We don't want to be in charge. We just want anybody in charge of us. You know, peace be upon thee, but don't screw with us. Okay. That's what we're your hammer. You just let me know when you need some hammer. Okay. We're all over it. So what do you think about the future of this place? I mean, you know, where are you guys going? How big is it going to get? Is it forever expanding? You're going to take over a defunct Walmart building or what?
That would be really cool. We do seem to be growing at a pretty healthy rate. As far as like the future of like hackerspaces in general, it's just a really cool work environment. Like, you know, where would you prefer to work? You know, someone else's building or your own building with your own friends? You know, all doing your own projects. That's what's very nice about Heatsink, I think.
Yeah.
Well, how do you, who gets to go to the meetings? Who votes for the whatever? How are you structured? Hear ye. Whose guy has the gavel? I mean, how does that work?
Usually at our hackerspace meetings, someone just sort of volunteers to be, you know, the guy up front or to, you know, count
whoever
the
went to the bathroom and came back elected.
Whoever picks up a Sharpie first. Yeah. To be specific, though, you know, you asked who's allowed to vote and stuff like that. Anybody that's a paying member is allowed to vote. So If you're in our lowest membership tier, is $25 a month, which doesn't get you much other than the right to vote. And then the next level is $50 a month, which is what most members.
Which
are.
Gets you what? What I mean, 25 to 50, what do I get? I get to use the drill press at 50 or what?
Well, again, to stress again, it's like we really are the anti like health club model. Like it's not pay to play at all. But the way it works is originally we had, you know, it was like $50 a month was just the membership due. And what you get at $50 a month is you get like a box to keep your stuff in, a banker's box. And then you're also eligible to be nominated for a key to the building. So we're open from 7 to 10, Monday through Friday, 7 p.m. to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday. And if you don't have a key, that's pretty much the only time that you can come by, or the only time that you're guaranteed that you can come by. Mm-hmm. If the community really likes you, so if somebody's like, Ryan is doing really amazing things, and we really like him, and we wish he was here more, they could nominate me to get a key. So they would propose, hey, I think Ryan should have a key. We would vote on it, and if everybody thinks I should have a key, I'll get a key. Those are the things that you can get with $50 a month. But people were sort of like, hey, I want to give you money, but I don't want to, you know, $50 a month is more than I want to give. So we created a $25 a month membership, which does, you're not eligible to get a key. You don't get space to keep your stuff, but you do get to vote on the direction of the space.
And you get to come in and play.
And you get to come in and play. Well, you can come in and play for free, but $25 gets you the ability to vote. So.
What about materials? You got to supply your own materials, or is stuff available, or what?
For most stations, it's for our wood shop, we have the scrap wood pile, metal shop scrap metal pile. For our electronic station, we have like just a bunch of resistors and capacitors. It's really like take some, leave some. It's a very honorary system, and it works pretty well. So.
The way that I like to look at it is like if you were at your friend's house, you know, they would say, hey, there's beer in the fridge, take as many as you want. If you went into their fridge and took all of their beer, you know, you better replace it. But if you need, you know, a resistor or a capacitor or something like that, take it. But if you have, you know, if you take all the resistors, you need to replace them.
You know what our rule was? One, I don't even know who had all the keys. I mean, we just gave keys out because I had like a secure area for the studio that we just locked that, but let them, you know, knock yourself out. I'd come in and find some, you know, kind of crazy stuff going on. But, you know, you just kind of, you know, trust and, you know, yeah. Let, you know, peace. But my rule was that last beer, that one's mine. Okay. I don't know how many you take. That's whatever. But the last one is Ernie's. That was my rule. So, you know, we kind of have the same kind of rules. So I'm looking at what kind of cool things have come out. Now, we're running up on the break here. I want you guys to think. I mean, you know, come on, inspire the people. Oh, we got this cool project that's coming online. We did this one here. We got to. And I talked to Mitch Altman. He was his big claim to fame was TV Be Gone. You know,
we're actually, my girlfriend and I are building a clone of that right now.
Really? Cool, yeah. You know, he was like, he goes, yeah, I make money. You know, I did that. You go in public spaces and it's just like, I'm sick of all the TV, just turn them off, you know? And I'm going, well, it's kind of a private property thing and everything, but you know, power to you, you know, cause I'd like to turn a lot of TVs off. So I'm going, you know, very cool. I want to hear what you guys have come up with. I mean, over the years, somebody's got to do something or at least been to add on to something else coming. We're going to find out what that is when we come back in just a little bit here on the Declare Your Independence.
There are those that just want to be left alone, and those that just won't leave them alone. Which one are you? The Ernest Hancock Show.
Been happy lately, thinking about the good things to come, and I believe it could be something good has begun. Oh, I've been smiling lately, dreaming about the world at one, and I believe it could be someday it's going to come. 'Cause out on the edge of darkness, there rides a peace train. Oh, peace train, take this country. Come take me home again.
Oh, the peace train. You know, just, you know, hey, man, to leave me alone isn't. We can do it ourselves, take care of it, and our brothers, and having fun. We're going to save humanity, and we don't need a permission slip from. You know, you see why? I like these guys, man. I'm going, ooh, I want to hear all about it. You know, give me one of your goodies, though. You know, oh, Well, we'll talk about that in a little bit. Drones. Okay, we'll talk about that a little bit. But go ahead and tell me some of the cool stuff. I know you got to leave, but we'll go ahead and let you, give us your favorite.
Stick around. We'll see. There's some really cool projects going on in the lab. I wish I could say that I was involved with this one, but one of our members is building a scanning electron microscope, which is sort of the one that is like the coolest project in the lab, in my opinion. And I believe it's all her design, and she's machining a lot of the parts herself and stuff like that. That was actually, she was in Berlin speaking about it.
Scanning electron microscope. I need it.
Yeah, it's really, 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 really cool.
I need it.
Yeah.
Because I got to show the structures of, the nanotubes that I'm doing. I can actually look and see which one of them if I could get down. I mean, I got a microscope. I got a ASU biology, whatever, from Craigslist, Daylaw, and put a optical piece that goes in, that goes to my laptop that I can see and take pictures, and it's kind of cool. But when you're dealing nano, that don't mean squat, Yeah. So I'm like, how did she even do that?
She's a genius, I guess,
Part of the project's just, proving that you could do it from scratch. Because a lot of people, they hear about these complicated projects like, oh, I could do that. I'm not a scientist or whatever. But someone had to make it. Like, someone made it in their garage at some point, right?
Yeah, well, it's getting to the point now. If you can do it on a CAD, you don't even need a machine. That's what 3D printers are for. Do you guys even have 3D printers down there?
We have a handful. Actually, we have two in operation. And something that's cool about having two is that you can print parts for the other. Like, a part breaks, it wears down. And then the other one prints it for it. And then they're just sort of building each other.
Yeah.
Oh, Star Trek replicators, man. It is all over. Yeah. So what's one of your favorites?
Oh, projects?
Yeah.
I built a piano from scratch, or an electronic, analog synth. And by scratch, I built and designed the switches. And that's kind of cool. Just, getting that nitty-gritty about your electronics. There's switches on everything, but no one really knows how they work. And it's hard.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm going like this. I go, do you even know how cell phone works? Absolutely. I push the app here. I go, that's not how it works.
That's really interesting. That's actually a really important philosophy for me that I've talked about, where cell phones specifically, I've said, it's like a black box. I know generally how it works, but there's a point at which below that, it's just magic. And one of the things that I love about HeatSync, and one of the things that I've tried really hard to do, is I call it illuminating black boxes. So I'll take my niece who's 8 and teach her how to solder, or teach her what a printed circuit board looks like, and to her that's one level down of understanding what's one level deeper of what she knows about how stuff works.
I would be fascinated just to have electricity explained to me. Seriously, when I started doing this battery stuff and everything, I'm going, okay, I'll go to Khan Academy. You guys familiar with Khan Academy? Uh-huh. I go to Khan Academy. All right, we'll start at the basic. And electron is. I go through this stuff. I start doing more research or doing everything. I'm going, they don't know. Seriously, nobody even, they're going, yeah, it's kind of electromagnetic park, we don't really understand it, and I'm going, they don't really have a fundamental understanding of something as simple as that. And I'm going, wow.
I was just thinking the other day, there's a lot of great programmers today, but they're doing very modern languages. How many people still know machine code?
Yeah, I don't. And I'm a programmer, and I can't do machine code. So.
Well, it's built on top of. And all of a sudden, it's Y2K thing, and does anybody know how to do COBOL? I'm going to get these guys back in. You want to make $50 an hour? I mean, back when that used to be real money. So I'm going, okay. So this is, you see the future as what? Are you optimistic about it? Are you, we're going into totalitarian regime of the whatever? Or do you kind of it doesn't matter, let them go, we're going to be fine?
I don't know. That's a big question.
I'm actually very optimistic about the future. I think there's a lot of really cool things that we're doing. I mean, and maybe I'm biased, or Chad and I are biased, because we see a lot of this stuff happening. But no, I'm totally optimistic about the future. It makes me really sad, actually, hearing people where you talk to them what's going to happen in the future? And they're like, everyone's going to die. It's just going to be terrible, and it's going to suck. And it's like, well, then get up and help us make a cool future. It doesn't have to suck like that. Let's make something cool.
My new best friends, Chad and Ryan. I'm with you, brother. I see the thing is, my perspective is kind of unique because I was you guys 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It was, I could see what we didn't have the technology, though. I'll tell you what it's like. An Iron Man, and the second one, he's got to get the noob or whatever, chest, whatever, yeah, element, Daylaw, something. And his father goes, look, I am limited by my technology now, but you won't be, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's the stuff. I can see it coming. I know what we need. I know what we, I know it. And I'll tell you what we were waiting on. The internet. When it our first emails in 93, 94, mm-hmm. we go, oh my God, you can bypass all the filters. Mm-hmm. You can go peer-to-peer around the world, anybody. Oh man, they are so screwed. Freedom's Phoenix, the whole concept, like 96, we had developed in our head. We were waiting for video to hit the internet, and we mm-hmm. were told that'll never happen. No, it's too much bandwidth this and data that and too much and pipelines and hardware and yada, it'll never. I'm going, yeah, right. You just wait. Boom. The first YouTubes went, we started building Freedom's Phoenix 7 years ago. And I'm telling you, I was waiting for that for you. Here it comes. Now, with the internet and this interconnectivity and the cool projects, are you inspired by other hacker spaces? Do they share with the rest of the country? Look what we're doing. We're cooler than you and, whatever. Do you get some inspiration from other people?
So you actually mentioned Mitch Altman and the TV Begun. So that's a perfect example of another hacker space or another person doing something cool that inspired me personally. I love that. The TV Begun, I think, is really, really cool. And I think I share your frustration when I go into a bar or restaurant or something like that, and there's a television behind, the person. If I'm trying to talk to you and there's a TV behind right. you, it's really difficult to
say. At McDonald's.
Yeah, it's terrible.
And they're CNN and me. Propaganda and look at the explosions. I'm like, seriously?
I don't want it. And so what we're working on is like a TV Begone that you would wear as a piece of jewelry that's just constantly saying, turn off televisions. And hopefully the point would get to where you forget that you're even wearing it. So you just go in and TVs are, you just don't see them. They're just always off, which would be really, really cool.
It's kind of, this libertarian thing. It's like, it's private property there kind of, but, I'll kind of, I'll turn an eye and say, well, he was bad. Thank you. Well, what's some of the future things you're thinking?
Future thing? I don't know. I don't know if I'm optimistic about the future. Not to say I don't think it's important to do stuff, but I guess I'm pessimistic. Yeah.
Because you're an ASCU student, seeing you don't have a job, that's why.
So, some of the stuff that I think we'll see in the future, definitely, we touched on it during the break a little bit, is drones. And like I was saying to you, I think it's really sad that people hear this word and immediately think of it as a dirty word, like it's the government coming with their evil drones or something like that. Which is
don't mind if I have my drone on top of your drone that's targeted your drone, my little mini Hellfire drone anti.
What's just too bad is like there's really cool stuff that I want to do with drones. But, if I talk to some of my friends, they're like, drones, what do you work for the government? It's like, no, I'd have a remote control airplane that I put an Arduino on and it'll fly itself around.
Oh, we pushed it. Team Black Sheep, man, I thought that was cool as heck.
Exactly. The stuff that they're doing, these really beautiful videos and stuff that they're making and flying around mountains and stuff like that, that's really, really cool. That's a drone. It's a really cool drone.
Well, I tell you, the one thing that I am not about giving a monopoly of surveillance, monopoly of force, monopoly of whatever to the man. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, what they'll do, though, is they'll say, oh, you can't have any drones, but we can. That's what I'm going, no. But I think it's very, 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 very cool technology. It can be used in a lot of ways. Heck, just surveillance of my own home.
Or FedEx drone. Imagine it dropping stuff on your front yard the same
day. Oh, they're delivering lunch.
Yeah,
and taco copter. You just put in GPS, kind of go and bring my Taco Bell.
Yeah,
done. Done. Of course, pizza delivery drivers feeling like they're getting pushed out.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
Ah! I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't. I feel good. I knew that I wouldn't.
So good. So good. That's another thing. Music. I'm noticing in a lot of these hackerspace things, there's always a room or a segment or something people are playing, doing music thing. What's up with that?
Yeah, we kind of have a music space upstairs at Heathink. It grew kind of organically. I had some music equipment, so did a lot of other members. We put it there all at once and started playing music there, and it's been interesting. It's grown quite a lot, so...
So how does a hacker kind of go in? Is it like making new funky synthesizing light flashing brain mapping in your head emotion, get you sexually aroused push button thing or what? Orgasmatron. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, well, our music space is it's instruments to play, but we do have a lot of music projects. People want to build kind of stuff. I've kind of built a bunch in my time, but yeah.
All right. Well, that's it. I saw that as a common theme. You know, I was like, you know, as I go through, there's always, you watch videos of Hackerspace, there's always a music component somewhere. And I'm wondering if that's kind of the, and it's not just headbanging, rock and roll, going crazy, whatever. I mean, it was more of a, just, it's part of the way the brain is wired of these kind of people.
Well, I think that Hackerspaces are really heavily driven by very, very creative people.
Yep.
You know, and I think that, you know, creative people maybe would gravitate more towards creative ambitions like music and art and stuff like that. So that's probably why.
It's kind of people, man. I'm telling you, I want to be, you know, I want to be your friend. I want you know to send. I mean, of course, I'm, you know, got what I need here, but you know, I go down whatever I want to visit, and I sure as heck want to encourage, you know, a lot of the young guys that I know to be very creative and do stuff, get their butt down there. And what about the arts? I mean, things like video editing and sound and, you know, that kind of stuff.
We do a bit of video editing. We whenever we have an event, a lot of times we try to record it, like when we have like talking events or something. And so, just sort of out of necessity, some of us have had to learn how to edit videos pretty efficiently.
Yeah, we actually, so we talked a little bit about what we call Hack Your Hackerspace, where you can vote on stuff. One of the things we voted on maybe a year ago or so was to fund a video editing station. So we have like a video production station in our lab that was funded by member donations.
Well, what kind of, you know, budget do you guys got? I mean, after you pay your whatever, you got enough money to buy some goodies with?
Oh, yeah. We get it. I'm actually on the board at Heatsink, and I'm the treasurer, so I have to give these little financial reports. But we do make enough revenue to buy a pretty good goodie every month or two.
Right on. How many members do you have?
It depends on what's a member, because it's kind of vague.
Somebody paying?
Somebody paying, we probably have like 65, 70 members, but there's so many people who are just like, they do cool things, and they do it at Heatsink, and maybe they pay, I don't know, but...
That's so you got a budget, right on.
Yeah.
Very cool, very cool. Now, the one thing that I wanted, there was something you were going to say, and I wanted to make sure that we got to it.
Oh, did it have to do with drones, maybe?
Well, go ahead and give me your drone.
Well, so the thing that was really frustrating that I was started talking about before the break was that...
Oh, it was gardening. I wanted to talk about the gardening. We're going to do the drone thing real quick.
Well, the drone thing is just like, I see lots of really useful things. Like, we kind of joked about tacocopter. But there's really cool, like, legitimate uses. So, for instance, the Forest Service or something, one of the things they have to fight is forest fires. It's really useful to have a drone that can just fly out and look for forest fires. It's basically a remote control airplane. It flies around and looks for forest fires. That's really, really cool. Or, like I joked about, the FedEx delivery thing. I mean, imagine being able to order something on Amazon.
It's no joke.
And have it show up at your house 3 hours later because it's just a drone that picks it up and takes it to you. These are the things I really want to see in the future. These are the things that, you know, I think a lot of us are working to make in the future. And it makes me a little bit frustrated to see some people fighting so hard against it. And partially, not just people fighting hard against it that think it's the government or whatever, but it's also the people fighting against it that is the government saying, well, no, you can't, you're not allowed to make drones. Those are very dangerous unless you're a defense contractor. Then you're, you know, you're certified to be able to do it safely. And that's very frustrating.
No, I'm with you, brother. I see where this is going. Empower. It's printing press. You know, it's the transportation. Yeah. It's, you know, they're like, you're so not allowed because we got the United States Postal Service and you're just screwing us even more and kind of whatever, bite me. Okay? Yeah. So I'm with you on that. Gardening, tell me about that.
So like everything at Heatsink, some of us got together and we kind of wanted to do some gardening, and which is kind of a problem in our space because it's completely surrounded by concrete. It's in the middle of the city. So we have some wood boxes and some like 5 gallon jugs, just quite a lot. Holding plants and growing stuff, and it's actually like gotten pretty big for just like an urban garden. So
I'm man, we're gonna be such good friends. This is I'm really excited about this because I tell you what, I've been waiting for you. You know, this kind of mentality, this attitude, this, we've been doing a lot of this stuff. You know, we've been building, because exactly what you're talking about is, I have seen the impediment to a lot of this is not technology. It is the community. It's how you, this is what, I give you a perfect example. When we started the Lovevolution, I would go out, you know, politically, you got activists, they want to go do and advocate for freedom and peace and, you know, libertarian, you know, leave me aloneism. And you'll go to a meetup, anywhere around the country, I go in, and you'd have the Republican blue hair, older kind of crowd sitting there, that majority of, and guy standing up front. And then I'm going, all right, who are the sign makers? Who are the activists? Who are the guys actually doing something? Who are the guys who got paint on their fingernails? Who are those guys? And they're all kind of sit down with their heads down. And then there's a table of 5 to 10 young people in their early 20s, late teens, sitting in the corner going, well, hell, you're not making signs. That's why we saw it on the internet. You're making signs. We thought you were making signs. You're not making signs. That's why we're here making. I don't worry about it. I'll talk to you later. Okay. So we talk about whatever. And I was there and I'm saying, look, the answer is always yes. They go, you should. I go, yes. Are you in charge of that? You need a card? You need a title? You need a shiny badge? What do you need? Okay. You're in charge. Yeah. Yeah. The answer is yes. You know what? You should. Yes. But you got to do it. Yes, yes, yes. And we'd take away the hurdles and we would help them do it. And we'd show them how. And then there's a smaller percentage, but there are people that, given the environment like what you have and somebody saying yes all the time, yeah, they'll do it. And I want to help.
Yeah, yeah, it's so true. We had a shelf in the lab that kind of just showed up. And we needed a place to put it. And so I was going to mount it on the wall. And I talked to Ryan, and I was like, hey, Ryan, what do you think about putting it here? And Ryan said, no, it's not a good spot, but don't care about my opinion. I'm like, okay, all right, I won't. And I put it right on that wall, and it demonstrated something really great. Is, you know, heatsink would never work if we were always worried about what the other person thought.
Yeah, it's like if you think you need to ask permission or good absolution or sanction, you deserve to be told no.
It's really funny, too, that what you just mentioned is a thing that we have, like, literally had that conversation with people before, which is like, you know, we need to form a committee, I think, to get to go out and find a thing and whatever. And it's like, all right, well, then we're not going to vote on it. Just, you're a committee now. Just, I've decided that you now are a committee. So you are now empowered to go do it. So now go do it.
You know, I remember, you know, I was county chairman, Libertarian Party back in the 90s. You know, I did a lot of, so I'm always got the you should pile, you know, kind of people and volunteers. How do you get volunteers to do stuff? Or you don't. They want to do it or they don't want to do it. You know, I mean, I don't care. So whenever somebody come in, we had this power, you know, they go, you should, you know, that's a great idea. I'm going to make you head director, chairman, some bitch in charge of, you know, put it on a business card and everything. And there you go. There's your shiny badge. Not rock on. Well, no, I want to be a chief and tell all the Indians what and give me. I go, no, it doesn't work that way.
We run into exactly that fairly often, which is like, you know, somebody has a really great idea. Oh, you know, it'd be really great if we did this. It's like, cool. Let me know when you get that done because I'd love to see it. You know, and frequently a lot of people, they don't want to do the work behind it. And that's another one of the little social pressure things
that you can use.
Yeah, you should do this. Like, you should do that.
Coming out my butt.
Yeah.
I don't need another you should. I want a should on my own list. I'm not doing your list.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to help. We have the supply. A lot of guys doing all kinds of different t-shirt designs. Mm-hmm. You know, I showed you guys the t-shirt thing out there. Man, that's a popular thing. Now, the printing thing's a little bit more complicated, you know, but the actual t-shirt thing, ooh, let me add it. Ooh, do you have silk screen at your place?
We don't. We have a place across the street that does silk screen. They're a business.
Well, I've done a few stencil stuff for t-shirts, but it's very, very my own thing, not very technical process. But,
yeah. It's good to know how. You know, our thing is not like we can do it a lot cheaper or whatever and so on, but we buy a lot of, you know, apparel and stuff to do. It's, we do it for, because politically a lot of times, you know, a good idea right freaking not later in 2 hours is a lot better than a perfect one after the event was over. I mean, you know, we need something to do fast.
So you should come down to Heatsink Labs and teach us how to do silk screening. I think that would be really cool.
Absolutely. You know, and it's freaking a lot easier than you think. You know,
that would be really neat to see.
So this is, and what do you call it? Come down to what?
Heatsink Labs.
Oh, okay. I thought you said teach something. Okay. Heatsink Labs.
That's perfect.
You know, this is, and you guys aren't going there because what? You know, because what? Where is it? How would they? What do they look up on the internet? Where do they get the address? How do they find out?
We've got a website, heatsinklabs.org. Go to that. You can find everything. Please come.
Heatsink, S-Y-N-C, assuming I spell it correctly.
Yes.
Okay, heatsinklabs.org. Heatsinklabs.org. Ryan and Chad, thank you for coming in. I mean, driving up here doing this. And I know a lot of our audience and supporters and everything are going, yeah, baby, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to be new friends. Thanks for tuning in. Declare your independence Monday. You know, we may or may not do a show. Have a good rerun. Maybe this one.